You are listening to We Are Pittsburgh Talk Radio. Welcome to the latest edition of the Thomas Merton Center Show, a program that highlights the ideas and activities of members of a unique peace and social justice organization in Western Pennsylvania. My name is John Hare, and today we're talking with Center Events Planner Bonnie DiCarlo. We're also honored to have via phone in our second section the honored guest of upcoming Merton Center Annual Awards Dinner, Frieda Berrigan. Bonnie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here.
Bonnie, why does the Thomas Merton Center have an annual awards event, and what's it like?
Well, I guess the first thing is it takes money to run a nonprofit organization. This is the Merton Center major fundraiser of the year. And this is the 44th year that we have honored an international figure at this center. And also, the second reason, I think, is because we want to bring attention to people who are working for peace and justice around the world. And this is one way of doing it, giving them the Merton Award. Each of the honorees over the past 44 years has come into Pittsburgh to receive this reward, except one person who was in jail. And we had a video from the jail at that time. So it's been a very interesting journey over these 44 years with the Merton Center.
44 years, that's an illustrious history. At the awards dinner last year, I saw in the program a list of previous recipients. It's a pretty illustrious list.
It is. It goes from Bishop Oscar Romero to Dorothy Day to Daniel Berrigan to environmentalists, peace activists. Yeah.
I remember not too long ago, Madia Benjamin.
Exactly. And that was, we were probably the first people that really put her in the forefront about her action against drones.
Right.
Amy Goodman with Democracy Now! Has been one of our awardees. The first African American bishop in the, I think, Episcopal or Methodist Church. I mean, so it's a, it's really a very broad, as you said, list of international figures.
And I remember as well a pretty good audience. The big ballroom at the Sheraton was full, and I saw some politicians there, some other minor celebrities in the Pittsburgh from the Pittsburgh area. It's quite an event.
It is quite an event. It's held this year at the Sheraton Hotel, and we get about 450 to 500 attendees, which is really very good for. As somebody said, "My gosh, you mean you can get 500 peace and justice people out of Pittsburgh to come together at one time?" And yes, it's a diverse crowd. We reach out. It's for all the projects of the Merton Center.
And we've been working at it for 44 years, so we, I think, have developed our groove in that respect. So when is the event this year?
The event this year is actually 2 weeks, Monday, November 14th. It's at the Sheraton at Station Square. It starts at 6 o'clock. The gathering and getting together, the dinner and program will start about 7. We do have a raffle there each year, and we also do have a silent auction. This year is only our second year for the silent auction in recent history. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to expand that a little bit because we know that we can make more money with the silent auction, which is one of the purposes.
And all the affiliated groups of the Merton Center, there are quite a few of them. They all have tables and information about.
Not all of them, but mm-hmm. I think we had our meeting yesterday, actually, to mm-hmm. kind of finalize, and there's going to be about 10 groups, 7 tables that have their information out. Because we like to put out front the organizations that are local, that are working for peace and justice in different areas. So there will be the anti-war, there will be the ceasefire in terms of guns, there will be the peace organizations, the Friends.
The environmental groups,
yes,
the
exactly.
The new economy groups.
You name them. And anybody that is working toward peace and justice actually uses the Merton Center as a resource center. Mm-hmm. We have a meeting space there for them. We have a separate building that we now have that they can have meetings in and offices, Pittsburgh Transportation Workers.
That's right.
In terms of the transit, which is a big organization with
advocacy
the center.
Advocacy for public transit.
Yes.
The Merton Center truly is a unique organization and one that we should be very proud of in the city. Okay, so let's talk about our honored guests this year. Mm-hmm. Berrigan, that's a pretty familiar name.
It's very familiar. Back in 1988, the Thomas Merton Center had Daniel Berrigan as our honoree, and he actually came in to accept the honor. At that time, of course, the peace movement was very active. And I'll just have to say now, the person who co-founded this organization is Molly Rush,
yes,
who is still with us. And Molly will introduce Daniel Berrigan's niece, Frida Berrigan, at our dinner on the 14th.
So Father Dan Berrigan had a brother, also a priest, Philip Berrigan. Father Philip Berrigan, who is Frida's father.
That's true.
And Frida's mother is Elizabeth
McAllister, and she was also a sister, a religious order, and they got married, and Frida was one of their children, yes.
And Frida grew up in a Catholic worker collective in Baltimore called Jonah House, I believe.
Right, exactly. It was a group of people that of like mind that gathered together and worked together in the community for peace. Very active. In fact, Frida wrote the book about being raised by radical parents and the results of that, which is a very interesting book. And the thing that she said was very, very frightening was the first time both of her parents were arrested at the same time and left her and her sibling alone. When they realized how difficult that was and how frightening that was for a young child, both Elizabeth and Philip decided they would never get arrested again together. At the same time. But they certainly ran a long string of contiguous arrests through their lives.
Nonviolent civil disobedience.
Absolutely.
Which their consciences said there is little we can do but this in lieu of the injustice that they saw.
Right. This was the path that they took to try to make things better in terms of their morality and their conscience. That's correct.
Well, this will be very interesting to talk with Frida, as we will in our next section. We are talking second or third generation here. And as we know, the generations see things differently from time to time or build upon what they learned as they were growing up from their parents.
You know, John, those of us who are involved in any type of movement, and we all are to a certain extent in our own lives, build on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Let me just give the telephone number for the Merton Center.
Please.
Since we were talking about the event on the 14th, if anybody is interested in attending or would like to know more about it, please call 412-361-3022. And that will give you the Merton Center, and you can ask your questions or make your reservation.
And for those of you listening on the radio, there is also a website that you can go to. It's www.thethomasmertoncenter.org. And you may also learn about the event at that website.
And you can also make your reservation through Eventbrite on that website.
How much are tickets?
Tickets are $65. If you buy a table, there's no break. $650.
But scholarships are available.
Scholarships are available. Just call that number, 412-361-3022, and say, I would really like to attend. I really need help. And we have quite a bit of money because our members are very generous for scholarships. At this point, we have probably about $1,500 worth of scholarships available.
And a number of the sponsors and affiliated organizations also, too, offer some of the seats that they've purchased for scholarships.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, you've been listening to We Are Pittsburgh Talk Radio, and this is the Thomas Merton Center show. Our guest currently is Bonnie DiCarlo, and soon we'll be talking at the next section with Frida Berrigan, the honored guest this year. We'll be back after this break.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to We Are Pittsburgh Talk Radio, and this is the Thomas Merton Center Show. I'm John Hare. Our guests are Merton Center events planner Bonnie DiCarlo and activist author Frida Berrigan. Frida, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, John. Happy to be with you.
Well, good. And we're looking forward to see you in Pittsburgh in a couple weeks here at the Thomas Merton Center Awards Dinner. Frida, I think you're in a unique position of having witnessed the peace movement from birth. Can you tell us a little bit about your growing up in a household of peace activists?
Sure. I grew up at Jonah House, an intentional community in Baltimore, Maryland, that was founded by my parents and friends, my father, Phil Berrigan, and my mother, Elizabeth McAllister, and a group of friends. Came together in the early 70s in the aftermath of the Vietnam War and the last days of the Vietnam War, and realized that while the Vietnam War might end, war itself was going to continue, and that there needed to be a peace movement that was strong and grounded and able to take risks, and that individuals couldn't do that, but communities could. And so Jonah House is a Catholic, nonviolent resistance community. And my brother and sister and I grew up there. There were other children who were there at certain points for some years at a time. Sometimes there were a dozen people living in this pretty small, cramped little row house in inner city Baltimore in a pretty tough neighborhood. We were always going down to Washington, going to the White House and the Pentagon. In some ways, I feel like I grew up at the Pentagon. people getting arrested for demonstrations against war and nuclear weapons and, other causes. So
Jonah House was in the tradition of Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker. Am I correct in that?
Yes, there was definitely a tight relationship between Jonah House and the Catholic Worker movement. I guess the big difference for us was, two differences. One, that we didn't do hospitality for homeless people, and that we weren't reliant on donations. Mm-hmm. The community worked for its living. We painted houses, and so everybody worked, everybody contributed in that way, and then that money went to our collective expenses. We did a food program where we gave out food to our neighbors, and that was sort of in the personalist kind of tradition. That was something we did.
Okay, Frida, this is Bonnie. Welcome to the talk show, and welcome to Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks also for the program. Why don't we talk a little bit about how that has evolved, and today the work that you're doing in terms of against torture and in terms of, you know, the raising of your family and the Guantanamo connection, how that all falls right into place.
Sure. I founded Witness Against Torture with friends, mostly out of the New York Catholic Worker and other Catholic workers on the East Coast of the U.S. in 2005, which feels like yesterday.
Time flies.
A long time ago. But we came together basically asking the question, what can we do together that we can't do alone? What can we do if we take fear off the table? And those are certainly, you know, the kind of questions that led, you know, Phil Berrigan and Daniel Berrigan to Catonsville and to the King of Prussia and Plowshares, and asking those questions in the context of community in 2005 led us to Cuba and a walk, over a 100-kilometer walk to Guantanamo. And we did that at a time, you know, during the Bush administration when it was illegal for U.S. citizens
yes.
to travel to Cuba. We went very openly hoping to be prosecuted and to give a platform to talk about the real crime, which was putting this this torture chamber, this gulag, outside of the arm of U.S. law at the time. And but we weren't prosecuted.
No, they wouldn't give you that publicity, Frida.
But then we came back and have been organizing ever since around January 11th, which was the date that the first men were brought to Guantanamo. And, you know, things have really changed over that time, sort of ebbed and flowed. There are only about 60 men there at Guantanamo at this point. That's happened under the Obama administration, which, of course, made, you know, an early commitment to shutting that place down and sort of restoring, you know, the United States' moral authority in the world. This administration has often pointed to Guantanamo and our treatment of men in Guantanamo as a recruiting tool for terrorists.
Right.
You know, the issue has sort of evolved. You know, in that time, I also, you know, acquired three children and moved to New London, Connecticut. New leadership within that group has emerged, really extraordinary leadership that is now making the links between Guantanamo and Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. Guantanamo and the prison industrial complex in this country, the practices of indefinite detention and solitary confinement and torture within the U.S. prison
right.
system, really continuing to be a very strong moral voice and taking on really creative, dynamic action.
Yeah, well, you know,
on behalf
Frida,
of people.
I'm sorry, Frida, in Pittsburgh, we do have an organization that is very concerned about the solitary confinement issue and looks at it as a torture and as unusual punishment. So it's a very disgraceful thing, I think, for our penal system mm-hmm. for this country mm-hmm. to be faced with.
And we're looking forward to hear you talk about this when you come. Can you tell us a little bit about Waging Nonviolence? It's a website. Is it also a publication? And I'm sure there's ongoing commentary about all these issues there.
Yes, Waging Nonviolence is a website. It's a blog, sort of an online magazine, conceived to be sort of one-stop shopping for everything nonviolent that's happening all over the world.
Wow. And
so they do have like a news ticker of nonviolent actions and work happening all over the world. It was founded by some friends of mine, Eric Stoner and Nathan Schneider and Brian Farrell in New York City. And they invited me on as a columnist. I write the Little Insurrections column
right.
for them. And, you know, at this point, I write a lot about my kids and about parenting, trying to parent with intention and conscience, sort of my struggles to, you know, reconcile my, you know, this pretty intense upbringing that I had with, you know, we're war tax resistors and we're activists, you know, but we're not getting arrested all the time. We're not sort of, you know, we live in a small town, you know, sort of my reflections on you know, what that means and, you know.
Yeah, and the name of the book is It Runs in the Family, On Being Raised by Radicals and Growing into Rebellious Motherhood. Quite a title.
Quite a title.
No, it's a mouthful. Right, and that book came out of columns that I wrote for Waging Nonviolence, and then there's sort of a memoir aspect to the book as well. It was published by OR Books, OR Books, in January of 2015, you know, it's a fun little book. Right.
Just as a teaser to our listeners, that maybe get them to come to our event. So, what about schooling for your children? What's your thoughts on that?
Right. We're sending our children to the local public schools, which are, you know, struggling institutions like many of them.
Right.
My brother and sister and I, went to public schools where we were the only white kids in our class up until, you know, middle school or late middle school, and had this really interesting, instructive education, not just, you know, in reading and writing, but also in privilege and exceptionalism and how there's two sets of rules and the way in which, you know, like white privilege operates, mm-hmm. even in, you know, institutions yeah. that are largely African-American. Our community here is, you know, I guess more diverse you know, our kids aren't minorities. My oldest daughter, my stepdaughter Rosina, is in a dual language program, and you know, it's so she's learning Spanish and English and has been since kindergarten, so it's a very, like, wholesome, lovely school that she goes to. And then our son Seamus is in pre-K, and then Madeline is 2, and so she's not in school. She sort of just hangs out with us, and we try and make life interesting enough for her.
Hangs out in the garden with you. You mentioned
that's
that
right.
You're...
Yeah.
Okay, Frida. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you over the radio. Look forward to meeting you in person when you come to Pittsburgh. And Bonnie, tell us about the event again before we have to sign off.
Yes, we're very glad that Frida has accepted this award. It's the 44th award dinner for the Thomas Merton Center. It's being held on Monday, November 14th at 6 o'clock at Sheraton Station Square. It is being coordinated by Celebrate and Share, which was co-founded by me, Bonnie DiCarlo, and my partner, Joanne Forrester. And this is the second year that we're coordinating this event. We have about 450 to 500 people there, and we will have Frida's book there for people to buy. And Frida has agreed that she would sign books. So we are very excited about your coming in. I can't wait to meet you. I haven't met you. I've read the book, and everyone is excited.
Come one, come all to
right.
this event. Frida, thanks so much for being on our program. We'll see you in a couple weeks. And thank you, Bonnie, for being here for the Thomas Merton Center. You've been listening to the Thomas Merton Center Show on We Are Pittsburgh Talk Radio. Become a member. Subscribe to our monthly publication, The New People. Go to www.thomasmertoncenter.org or call us at 412-361-3022. I'm John Hare. Thanks for listening.